Mercy and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. She had a gang tattoo right there on the upper part of her back, just over the shoulder blade. A gang tattoo. At times it looked more like a scar than a tattoo. It really only had one color. This was before tattoos were fashionable. And it had been done in a back alley garage where there was risk of infection and scarring. And indeed, she had a scar. The shape of the tattoo was that of a crown. And it made this dark blue splotch on her back. She didn't know which was worse, the tattoo or what she had done to get it. You see, there were many men, or boys really, in the gang, and there were many petty crimes that she had committed to make her worthy of bearing that scar and being part of the gang. Well, that was many years ago, and it was in a different city. It was before she had gone to night school, before she had gotten a job, even a promotion, before she had gotten married and a family. And now here she was, sitting in a church committee, a church education committee. And they were asking her opinion on kids and the streets today. One member of the church had already removed her child from Sunday school. If you're going to bring kids from gangs into this program, then don't expect my child to stay around, she said. Why do you think I would bring my kids here? I want them to have a good upbringing. And as this meeting continued, she thought to herself, if you only knew about me, where I've come from and what I've done. If you only knew about me, you wouldn't even be asking about my opinion. And you certainly wouldn't be sitting here with me. And that night, her world became just a little smaller. All she could think about was, if you only knew. We all have moments like that. Moments where our lives become a little smaller. Maybe you don't have a gang tattoo. Maybe it's occurred to you in a different social setting than a church education committee. But we all carry scars from things in our past. Things that we may have done. And then in a moment, we find that our world becomes smaller as we find ourselves surrounded by people who don't know what we've done. And we're alone. We're intensely aware that we're alone. Alone with our scars. Maybe we've had a failed marriage. Broken a vow. Maybe we're a recovering alcoholic. Maybe we've had an unwanted pregnancy that ended in abortion. Maybe we have a parent or a brother or a sister who we haven't spoken to in over a year. Maybe we've fought with our children so many times we've lost count. And it leaves scars. Sin leaves scars in our lives. You know this truth. Then, when we gather together, we're aware of how radically different it would all be if the people around us only knew all of this. Maybe if you've been in this situation, you know what it feels like. Your back tenses up. Your shoulders tighten. Maybe a little light smile comes over your face as you try to get your way through it. All the time you're thinking, if they only knew, they only knew about me. If you only knew about me, you wouldn't be talking to me. Well, this Thursday is Holy Thursday, Maundy Thursday, a time when we remember Jesus' Last Supper. As we do this, we gather in the presence of a God who does know about you and me. We draw near to worship a God who knows all about you and me, all our secret sins, our secret scars. This week, as you meditate on Christ's passion, and as you come to receive His body and blood either here today or Thursday night, I would pray that you would remember this. The wonder of God knowing everything about you and bringing you to a table of forgiveness. In Luke's account of the Last Supper, which we read together, he's very clear that Jesus knew about Judas. It's like a movie where first you have one person and then another, and then they show you both of them together. Well, Luke does that with Judas and Jesus in his account. First he points to Judas. Luke tells us the feast of the Passover is approaching. So what does Judas do to prepare? He goes to the rulers to prepare to betray Jesus. That's his Passover preparation. Then Luke points to Jesus. He tells us the day of the Passover is approaching. So Jesus sends Peter and John into the city to locate the room where he's going to eat his last Passover. This is Jesus' preparation for the Passover, preparing a table for his disciples. And then Luke brings Judas and Jesus together. The hour of the Passover has come. We've moved from Passover approaching to the day of the Passover to the very hour of the Passover. That's where Judas and Jesus are together. And here's where Luke tells us that Judas is in the presence of a God who knows what he's going to do. At the Passover table, Jesus says, "The hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table." I know, Jesus says. Judas, I know. And how did the disciples react to this knowledge? Well, they had an argument. Luke tells us, in what you all read earlier, that at the conclusion of this religious celebration, they're arguing with each other, "Who is it? Who is it? Who's going to betray Jesus?" Kind of typical. That's how rumors in churches start, too. Someone asks about, or mentions, someone who's had, I don't know, an abortion or pick a sin. You've heard it. The first thing that somebody asks, or maybe that you and I ask in our minds, is, "Who was it? Who is it?" Somebody says, maybe, "I'd like to pray about somebody who's having marital problems." And that's when the gossip and the quarreling starts. And soon, all the spiritual work of God is being set aside. And everybody's digging around in everyone else's lives, in everyone else's closet, for those secret sins that we don't talk about. Those sins that are certainly present in every one of our lives. So here we see the disciples no longer looking at Jesus, but looking at each other. We become so engrossed in searching out that certainty of sin that we know is there in somebody else. But not Jesus. That's what's so amazing about this account in Luke. Jesus knows about the certainty of evil. Believe me, He knows. But He begins His meal talking about the suffering that He's going to undergo. And He closes the meal talking about this betrayal that He's going to undergo. Yet in the face of that certain evil, Jesus does not try to keep Judas away from the other disciples. He doesn't seek to turn the disciples against Judas. Go get him! He's the one. It's not what He does. Jesus does not run away. He doesn't run away from Jerusalem in fear. In the face of certain evil, Jesus does the certain work of God. Yes, one of them, Judas, will betray Him. Yes, another one of them, Peter, will deny Him 3 times. Yes, all of them will fall away. But in the midst of that, which Jesus knows is coming, He focuses on the work that He has to do. And the one thing that is true, God is alive. God's love is certain. And now, in Jesus, the kingdom of God is coming into this world. In the face of certain evil, Jesus offers certain forgiveness. He says, "This is my body, which is given for you. This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. For you, for the forgiveness of sins." In the Passover, they were remembering the freeing of Israel from slavery. That's what the Jewish people remembered at Passover. Well, from now on, Jesus urges His disciples to remember Him and what He is freeing them from and freeing you from. The sins, the scars of sins, from death, from the power of the devil. That's the new covenant. The new covenant in His blood. In Him is eternal life. In Him is the certainty of eternal love. And those wounds that are going to be inflicted on His body, that's where He bears the punishment of our sins on the cross. And with His blood, He claims us as His own, so that the angel of death sheathes his sword. In Jesus' body and blood, our eternal forgiveness. As often as we eat His body and drink His blood, we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes again. There, at the Last Supper, we see the gracious work of God among us all. In the Lord's Supper, we see not just for the disciples, but also for us, the certainty of the forgiveness of sins. So yes, today, we come before the Lord with all of our scars. all those parts of our lives that we would rather not remember. There are things that we've done where you would say, Pastor, if you only knew. For some of you, I do know. For some of you, I don't. But for all of us, God knows. God knows. He sees and knows everything. And today, we confess the certainty of our sin. But today, God comes and proclaims to you the certainty of His forgiveness. The certainty of His salvation in His Son, Jesus Christ. For in the death of His Son, He has forgiven your sin. Dear Christian friends, today I invite you to experience the wonder of what happens when you have a God who knows all about you. He chooses to know you through His Son, Jesus Christ. So what He sees are not the scars that you bear of those secret sins. What He sees are the scars that Christ bore for your sake and the love that Christ has for you. God knows you because of Christ. God knows you through Christ. Through the forgiveness of sins won for you by Christ on the cross. And when you see Him face to face with Jesus at your side, He will see those scars on Christ, knowing you that way when He comes again. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I invite you to stand for prayer.